All righty, hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Sweet 16 getting closer and closer. On Thursday, you will have BYU and Alabama, Maryland and Florida, Arizona, Duke, Arkansas, and Texas Tech. I do like Arkansas to beat Texas Tech in that game. And when you look at the Friday schedule, you really have a monster slate on Friday. You got Ole Miss with one of the best coaches in the country and Chris Beard, who's going to stop by in a few minutes from now. Michigan State, we all know what Tom Izzo has done in his career. You got a big one, Kentucky and Tennessee. Michigan and Auburn, Dusty May knows how to win this time of the year. Bruce Pearl, who's been to the Final Four before with Auburn, is trying to get back there and win a national championship, the number one overall seed in the tournament. And then you do got Purdue and Houston. So this has been a fun round to 32, and now we got some big teams here in the Sweet 16, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen and who the four teams will be that are remaining as we get set for the Final Four. We'll be broadcasting there live in San Antonio. But now joining us on the guest line, he's one of the best coaches in the country. He has Ole Miss in the Sweet 16, second year on the job there. They'll go up against Michigan State like we were just talking about on Friday night, and that is the head coach at Ole Miss in Chris Beard, kind enough to join us right now. Coach, I know it's been a while. Appreciate the time. How you been?
Busy.
Yeah, right? I could imagine. I'll start you off with a food question, though, because I'll never forget. It's one of my favorite interviews ever. When you punch your ticket to the Final Four, you're on the bus going back to the airport, and you're giving out your Whataburger order, and you're basically telling to the listener, someone go bring you a burger to the airport when you land. So you've had now 2 years to get the fine cuisine down there on the Ole Miss campus. You know, Ajax, the library, gas station, chicken on a stick. What have been some of your favorite eats?
Yeah, all of the above. That was a good list. Funky's Pizza, Ginside Wings, all sorts of stuff. Today I had the Taylor Grocery hot dog. Then the sneaky one down here is on my way home every night, there's a corner store, gas station, convenience store, Rascals. You know, they got some really sneaky food in there, man. They grill it out during the day. Then they put what's left over in the hot box at night. And they've got a really good pimento cheese and chicken salad that they serve well into the night. So that's been the go-to this season.
I know Ole Miss fans are really fired up. I don't have the great education in all the Ole Miss food places. I hit up my best friend Spencer, whose wife Anna Lee is a proud graduate of Ole Miss. So I know they're fired up with what you've done with the basketball team. First time since 2001 in the Sweet 16. Just what does this mean for the program this quickly to get them back to the Sweet 16?
Well, to us, it always starts really knowing the tradition and the history and recognizing all the coaches and players that have come before us. Ole Miss has a sneaky kind of basketball past. Coach Barnes and Coach Evans, Coach Wetlick, Kermit Davis, Andy Kennedy, the all-time winningest coach here. All these coaches had some success. They had some special teams. So we know that we wouldn't have the job or the opportunity, the facilities that we have today, if it wasn't for all those past players and past coaches pouring into this program. Our job is we would just like to honor those past teams and then try to take this to another level. So to be in our 10th NCAA tournament, to be in our second Sweet 16 in school history, in just our second season here, I think our players deserve all the credit. You know, they're the ones that have done the work, got the stops, made the baskets for us to be one of the 16 teams, you know, left across the country practicing and still playing this week.
Well, let's talk about some of those players. Chris Beard here with us. Ole Miss in the Sweet 16 up against Michigan State on Friday. Malik Dia got a lot of praise over the weekend. Just how about the growth that you've seen since the first day he walked into your program to where he's at right now in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I'm really proud of Dia. I think there'll be time after the season to comment on him more. But I'll just share that the first time that we spoke in the recruiting process, we both shared very high expectations for him. I didn't sugarcoat what I thought. It wasn't just recruiting spill or fluff. Because I also had some criticism in there, some things that we thought that he could get better on. Dia was great. He was very confident in himself, but also had a real humility that he was trying to find a program that was based on player development and for him to continue working. So remembering that first conversation and now months later, you know, having the pleasure and the honor to coach this guy in the Sweet 16, I give Dia all the credit. We coach him hard. We've never lowered the expectations for him as an individual player or our team. I just think he's got a high ceiling. I think any praise that he's gotten in the last couple weeks and months on good games, I think that's real. But I'm also pretty quick to say that there's so many things that he can continue to do better as well. And the best thing about D is he accepts that. He wants the positive criticism as well as the confidence talk.
You know, a lot of times you see what coaches preach just reflected in their players. I know how passionate and how much you care about basketball. You see a lot of that in Sean Padula, what an unbelievable weekend he had, and he plays with so much intensity and energy.
Yeah, Sean, above all, is a competitor. He's a guy that loves basketball. You know, he grew up playing in his driveway, the park, the gyms, any game he could play. Comes from a big family with brothers and sisters, so he's the guy that grew up playing with his younger brothers and older brothers, and that just bleeds through him. You know, above all, he loves to hoop. And I think in his backcourt, you know, Juju, same thing, from the Bronx, just loves to play. So those two guys at heart are competitors. They're ballers. You know, they're the kind of guys that will be looking for a pickup game, you know, the day our season ends. And I hope that's a Tuesday in April.
Yeah, that would definitely be nice. It would be a heck of a story. Chris Beard here with us. So you guys have done a very good job in the transfer portal and bringing in new players. I know these things happen so quickly, and you got to make a decision, and that decision can either define or derail your season. How do you get a sense, and what do you look for if a kid is the right fit for your program when you hit the portal?
Yeah, I think that's it. You mentioned the best word. It's fit. You know, like there's a lot of really good players out there that could play anywhere, and any coach would love to have them. But when you start talking about winning, fit better be talked about in the first inning and all the way to the ninth inning. So our coaching staff has done a good job, not only this year, but for years in the recruiting space. And I've always thought evaluating is so much more important than the actual recruiting job. When we think of recruiting, we think of salesmanship and relationships and official visits, and all that stuff is real. But more important is it's evaluation. Is the things that this player does, will it fit in our program? And then equally important, the best players in the portal that make the best decisions, they're going through the same process. You know, it's not just about name, image, and likeness or facilities or what kind of sneakers you wear. It's about that player evaluating his options and trying to find the best situation for him. So whether it's playing time, coaching style, player development, opportunity, culture of the program, you know, both sides are evaluating when this thing's done correctly. And I think our coaching staff has done a great job. You know, I've been doing this a long time with Al and Wes and Bob and Berg and Coach Adams and all these guys. And so, you know, we're blessed to have a staff that embraces the evaluation side of recruiting just as much as the salesmanship.
And I think the player who perfectly exemplifies what you guys are trying to build in your culture is Jamin Brakefield. So what blew me away is 90 career starts, only one start this year. That requires an incredible amount of selflessness. And then I hear what he's doing with his NIL money and the story with Brandon Hill that was shown on television. Man, what a wonderful kid it seems like to coach.
Yeah, Brake's the real deal. He's an elite human being. I believe he's a professional basketball player. I think he'll play as long as his body allows him to. He also has real interest in off-the-court life, investments, real estate, owning it, learning that game. And I just tell people all the time, man, like, you know, we're all looking for a five-star stud. And I think every employer in this country is looking for the same thing. Whoever is smart enough to hire Brakefield when his playing career ends will be instantly in a championship-type game because he's just elite. He gets it. It's not about him. It's about the team. It's about his family. He's a disciplined guy. He lives his life with thinking about himself less than others, and certainly the national story about his relationship with Brandon, who he's basically helped change Brandon's life. All that stuff's real. It's not a 30 for 30. It's not a movie. It's not a fluffy internet article. It's real, man. Like, Brake is an elite human being, period.
Chris Beard here with us. Well said. So you guys were called by Tim Doyle frauds before the start of the tournament. People are wondering what you guys are going to be able to do. Now you're in the Sweet 16. Everyone's praising you the last few days since what you guys were able to accomplish. How do you get your guys to lock back in so it's not just, oh, one great weekend and you could carry this thing on a little bit further?
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, with Tim, you know, nobody knows the truth. I don't know. Maybe him and I are great friends, and maybe he's giving us the motivation that we need. You know, there's always two sides of those things. But, no, the talk around the tournament and the talk around basketball is fun. Those guys are paid to have an opinion. That's why my favorite TV show is Kenny, Chuck, and Shaq and those guys, because they tell you what they think. You know, whether you agree or disagree, it makes for live television. It's awesome. You know, those guys aren't scared to tell you what they think. They're truth tellers, and that's why that's my favorite TV show, always has been and always will be. You know, back to us, you know, we have a saying, never lose your chip. Anybody that's talking about you, whether they're talking good or bad, it is good. Because people don't talk about people that aren't relatives. So for people to have critical things to say about us, I don't know, they're talking about Ole Miss. For people to have some positive things to say about us, thank you. I think we've earned the right for some positive as well. But that's fuel, and all the great competitors know how to find their fuel. And so, no, that's one of the fun things about the NCAA tournament. We don't spend a lot of time or really much time at all talking about those. But the whole fraud deal, that did reach our locker room, and we've enjoyed competing through that. You know, if we don't do our part of the bargain, and if we don't make it to the Sweet 16, then maybe that's valid. But I think at this point, to be one of the 16 teams left in college basketball, I think you can say a lot of things about our team like you can other teams, but I don't think you can say Ole Miss basketball is a fraud. Just look at the 16 teams still left in the tournament. And look at those teams that we've beat. And I think the best thing in sports is head-to-head, right? Like when there's a tiebreaker for a championship, everyone goes to head-to-head. So there's nothing more important in all the analytics and all this stuff than head-to-head competition. And we've beaten a lot of teams that are in the Sweet 16, and that's one of the sources of our confidence internally. We believe that we're worthy and deserving of being in the Sweet 16, and we believe that if we play our A game, we can be successful. Just like we know if we don't play our A game, then it'll be start the band, start the bus, we're out.
Man, you're getting me fired up. I can't wait for Friday when we turn the page to Friday, Chris Beard. I know you have a lot of respect for Tom Izzo. We've seen you guys go at it before in the NCAA tournament. His Michigan State team, your team here now with Ole Miss. Just how about when you get ready to prepare for Coach Izzo's squad, what stands out?
I mean, he's a Hall of Famer for a reason. I think, you know, there's three or four guys that have coached college basketball that are in the Mount Rushmore, and Coach Izzo's there, period. Anybody would tell you that. His teams have identities. His teams play the right way. He does it each year with different players, different staff. The common denominator is him. You know this as a coach. Every time you play his team, you're going to be tested. You're going to be exposed. And you better get a few things done or you won't be in the game. So my whole career, one of the things that we've told our teams before the game, whether it be at Fort Scott or Seminole or Little Rock or Texas Tech or now at Ole Miss, all the other stops along the way, we've really had a desire each game. Hey, man, can we out-tough these guys? Can toughness be the path to victory? When we play Michigan State, we do not say that. We have no objective in out-toughing a Tom Izzo coach team. We're going to try to match their toughness. We're going to try to match their toughness possession by possession, four-minute game to four-minute game. We know there's going to be some times in this game where they're going to out-tough us, but we've got to hold our own. But that's unique to most games we play. There's only a few programs around the country that we take this view of the game. But Michigan State's one of those teams. We don't think we're going to out-tough them. We're going to try to match their toughness and try to be competitive in all things tough. In this game, whether it's rebounding, transition, screening, cutting, mental toughness, playing through fatigue, being strong with the basketball, all these things are a given. You know, we better be ready to do that or all the other stuff doesn't matter when you play Coach Izzo.
2 years in, getting to reflect a little bit, have your expectations been exceeded about what you were getting into when you took the job at Ole Miss?
No. Expectations are to compete for championships and make runs in tournaments and play in the final game on that Monday night in April. So we have not exceeded expectations in any way. We're building the program. We're trying to build it brick by brick. Lots of people have gone into this, the administration with Chancellor Boyce and Keith Carter, our season ticket holders, our fan base, our students. So we're plugging away. We're here in year two. We're one of the 16 teams left. We got a four-team tournament in Atlanta starting on Friday. most important game in that four-team tournament is the first game. And then certainly, you know, we're 80 minutes from San Antonio.
Last thing I ask you, because I know you got to run. Naturally, with your success and your resume, people will look at you and they say you're one of the best basketball coaches in the country. You know, is this Ole Miss thing going to be a long run, or is it just going to be a 2 to 4 year run? What do you say to the Ole Miss fan that is afraid of maybe losing you one day and going off to a different school?
No, I mean, you're going to get that question if you're a coach that has good players and you win. That's just part of the dialogue in college basketball. So all that means is we had a really good team when people make those comments. But we're at Ole Miss for a reason. We believe in this place. We love this place. I think we came here with a big vision in mind. Again, the chancellor and Keith and our fans. And so we're just getting started. This is early days in Oxford. But why not? Why not compete for a championship in the early days? And that's what we're trying to do.
Coach, great to reconnect with you. Appreciate the time. Good luck coming up this week.
Thank you very much.